I want to focus a little bit on some of the assays that have clinical importance in terms of deciding on therapies. And one in particular that's been a lot of interest and a lot of work done over the years is CD30 testing. Can you talk about what CD30 is, how it's tested for? Of course, obviously, right now, the clinical implications is the potential use of bevacizumab. But can you talk about what we know about to what extent CD30 testing is done, how it's done, and what we know in terms of the quality of the work that's done?
Yeah, absolutely. So CD30 is a very common antigen, but it's expressed on activated lymphoid cells. But it's also additionally expressed on some malignant cells as well. So it's commonly expressed in Reed-Sternberg cells in Hodgkin lymphoma, for instance. It's expressed in anaplastic large cell lymphoma, both ALK negative and ALK positive. And then it can be sprinkled across a number of other tumors where you do get some CD30 expression. The most common way to measure it is using immunohistochemistry, and the most common antibody is an antibody we used to call BRH2 back in the old days. It's not a sophisticated test to do, but you would be surprised based on some of the QC programs from around the world that overall, in fact, across a large number of laboratories, it is not done that well in a large number of laboratories. And it has to do with the choice of the antibody. There are a number of different clones available, and some people choose clones that are a little bit insensitive, a little bit finicky to work with, and so their results can be questionable. The antibody has to be diluted just right. You have to actually do the test in an optimal way to optimize preservation of the antigen and being able to detect its expression. And then, as we were saying before, in addition to doing all that technically appropriate, you have to then be able to interpret the results as well. So there are a lot of issues in spite of the fact, you know, I would consider it a fairly routine and simple antibody to do by immunohistochemistry. It still can be a challenge for some labs. And so those are the labs that need to pay attention to QC programs, to using internal controls, to using additional external controls on the slides to be able to control for the quality of staining. There are a small number of labs in the world that are now running it as a routine using flow cytometry, but that's a limited number. We began doing that about 4 years ago, but a lot of labs in North America are not running that in flow cytometry.
How is the assay read out? Is it percent positive cells? And do you also report on the type of staining, whether it's cytoplasmic or diffuse?
Yeah, so both of those things, in terms of the latter question you're asking me about the interpretation of the staining pattern, it's important to report that. In most of the cases, it is membranous and then also stains the Golgi within the cells too. So it produces very large dot-like staining pattern as well as the membrane. It's important to determine whether the expression is on benign or malignant cells based on your interpretation of the H&E and the immunohistochemical stain. And then it is worthwhile nowadays because it is a target. And as you mentioned, we now have a drug that specifically targets that. It's important to say something about the percentage of malignant cells that are expressing the antigen. And that becomes quite important because in due course, clinical people will start to be making decisions and actual clinical trials will be informed by knowing the percentage of malignant cells that are seen to be expressing.
So in other words, it's not just positive or negative?
That's actually not very valuable information to put out, this positive or negative. You really want to save. So by way of example, in a case of peripheral T-cell lymphoma, what we refer to as PTCL unspecified, you can see some CD30 expression. Not at all uncommon. But it's usually a few cells, maybe 20, 30% of the cells. So it's not very uniform, not that strong. If you contrast that with anaplastic large cell lymphoma, either ALK negative or ALK positive, that is strongly positive on 100% of the cells. That's an important distinction. One, because it's useful information potentially for the clinician, but also it helps you with the differential diagnosis.
I am kind of curious because it's kind of been a little bit confusing to me. I know there was some work done in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma that showed no correlation between CD30 or the presence of it and, you know, benefit by bevacizumab. It's kind of hard to, you know, kind of get that in perspective. What's your take on that?
So I think if we're going to ever have consistency to diagnoses and to determining some of these things, we need a uniform and consistent way of reporting the findings. So I strongly recommend that pathologists actually get together and actually detail criteria of how the staining will be interpreted and how it will be reported. Because over time, we will learn whether even small amounts of expression are clinically relevant and have anything to do with being able to gauge responses. So there aren't really formal criteria nowadays. That's something, unfortunately, that happens in medicine in general and in pathology. And I would argue that we need those criteria. We need to develop them fairly soon so they can be consistently applied.